Hello, and welcome to the Logistics Management Podcast Series. My name is Jeff Berman. I'm Group News Editor for Logistics Management Magazine and the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group. It's a real pleasure today to welcome Avery Weiss to our podcast. Avery is Vice President of Trucking for FTR Transportation Intelligence, which is based in Bloomington, Indiana. Avery has closely studied the transportation industry for nearly 35 years in many roles as an editor, analyst, and researcher, which includes more than 20 years dedicated to the trucking industry. Avery also served as executive director of trucking research and analysis for Randall Riley from 2011 to 2013 after a decade as a chief editor of that company's Commercial Carrier Journal. Prior to joining FTR in 2017, Avery held several positions related to the trucking industry, including manager of public relations for Volvo Trucks North America and principal of his own transportation consulting and market research practice. Before beginning his involvement in trucking back in 1998, Avery covered the commercial aviation industry for 13 years as a reporter in Washington, D.C. Avery, welcome to our podcast.
Well, thanks, Jeff. I'm really looking forward to talking with you.
Absolutely. It's a real pleasure having you. We have a lot to cover in a short time, Avery, so I'll just jump in. I think the best place to start, perhaps, would be sort of, I'd be interested to hear how you view sort of the current state of the trucking markets, being truckload and less than truckload, that is, in terms of maybe the biggest changes since the COVID-19 pandemic truly kicked in and sort of changed the world as we know it from that point forward. How do you sort of assess how things have been really since mid-March when we all saw COVID really take over, if you will?
Well, you know, I think the word volatility does not describe it well enough. I'm not sure there is a term that we would use, maybe whiplash.
Sure.
And it's interesting because one of the key metrics, and I know you see this every month from us, is the Trucking Conditions Index.
Yeah.
And you haven't seen the one that was just published in our August report, which covered June, but you might be surprised, although probably not too surprised, to hear that the trucking conditions in June were the best in a decade, even though 2 months earlier, trucking conditions were the worst on record. So it is just about the most extreme situation you could imagine. And in even more complicated if you are a dry van or a refrigerated carrier, because for the first few weeks of the pandemic, you had all this extra demand for grocery restocking, and then everything collapsed. And then starting really mid to late May and especially during June, which is normally a seasonal, you know, peak anyway, but we weren't really sure because of the lockdowns and the quarantines. You know, we saw conditions in June for the market that were, you know, as I said, the best in a decade. The Trucking Conditions Index, which we just published yesterday, actually, as part of our trucking update, was the highest since January of 2010, coming out of the Great Recession. And it's really a function of, you know, how much capacity was lost as truckload and LTL carriers furloughed a lot of drivers and other workers, and then how fast the, you know, rebound was, based on obviously the growth we saw in retail sales in May and June, and then to a lesser extent in May, certainly in the industrial sector. But June turned out to be a very good month in the industrial sector, and so is July, based on some of the order activity that we saw, like in the automotive industry, for example, in June. So it has been just a dramatic shift in the last 4 months from okay to horrible to really pretty good. And that's where we stand now. And I guess the real question is going to be where we're going to go.
Yeah, what happens next, or where do we go from here? Certainly, will be an interesting follow to be sure. Shifting gears, but staying sort of on the same path, Avery. Let's dig into rates or pricing. You know, in terms of, you know, we're seeing a lot of increased activity on the spot market, especially of late. The per mile rates have been inching up, depending if you look at things like DAT or Internet Truck Stop, et cetera. Aside from just a general state of rates and pricing, if you will, let's talk about maybe a bit of the COVID impact there too. How have you been sort of seeing things along those lines?
Well, yes. I mean, the rate market the rate environment was from the carrier perspective, pretty weak heading into the pandemic. I mean, certainly the spot rates were well below where they were during the hot, 2017-2018 market. They had been below the 5-year average even since early 2019. It's similar to the overall picture for trucking, is that the early stages, the very early stage of the pandemic, again, for the supply chain, or for the carriers that are serving the grocery supply chain, were, had a little bit of support to them, but then everybody collapsed in April. So by April, yeah, we were down, on the order of 26% year over year in spot rates. And again, that's 26% off of what really wasn't all that great a year ago. Since then, the recovery, in May and in June and into July has been, I would say, dramatic is not too strong of a word. It has been sustained. We've only had, I think, 1 week during that whole period where spot rates were down week over week. We are now not only above last year in pretty much all of the segments, but we are above the 5-year average, only though, frankly, for the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. And quite possibly we'll stay there only because the comparisons are seasonal. So, the June is the peak in the spot market, both in rates and in volume. And so as we look ahead, even if rates were to stabilize and not get any higher, which is quite possible, and it's also quite possible that they will come down a little or obviously, not at all, but it is certainly not a bad bet that rates will be no worse than stable. And if that is the case, they'll actually be ahead of seasonal comparisons for a while. So the rate market in spot has recovered quite substantially. It seems like yesterday, although it was really more than 2 months ago or almost 3 months ago, that, the Owner Operator Independent Driver Association was complaining about brokers, not paying market rates to owner operators, and owner operators wanting legislation to bolster rates and all that, and that just seems like ancient history at this point.
I know it's sort of the shift in the market has sort of put that sort of in the background, it seems.
Yes, but when we look at contract, as you well know, contract rates just don't move that quickly, even in normal situations. And I would say now is even less, you're less likely to see dramatic moves because of the uncertainty. That sort of freezes both parties because you don't want to sign, longer term arrangements when you really don't know what your situation is going to be. So while there might be an impulse to some degree on the shipper's part, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, to take advantage of it and rebid everything, I think they really understood that, that's number one, that would be a pretty obnoxious thing to do in April. But yeah, also that you just don't know where things are going to be. And certainly the last 2 months proves that out. I think the recovery to this point is stronger, certainly stronger, I think, than we anticipated in late March and early April when we were doing our first forecast. A lot of that, frankly, in my opinion, is driven by the degree to which Washington has stepped in and just said, we are going to take care of this problem economically through, very generous unemployment benefits, through obviously the Paycheck Protection Program, which is, doled out over $500 billion to 5 million different small businesses. And then, you know, the stimulus or, you know, the I think they're called economic impact payments officially that, you know, most taxpayers got. And so there's been trillions of dollars pumped into the economy. And without that, I don't think we would have seen what we've had. And that without that, not only would we not have the volume support, I don't think we would have the rate support either that we've seen so far. And of course, you know, Washington is at it again. And, you know, we see that as critical. They've got to, it is clear with 29 million people still receiving unemployment benefits that, you know, simply cutting those benefits off, or at least the federal supplement of those benefits is not an economically smart thing to do. So, you know, we're watching that very closely.
Absolutely. You know, I was curious, you know, there has been a fair amount of talk regarding United States-based companies relying less on China, raising the possibility of a true move towards nearshoring or near-sourcing, however people like to define it. Let's talk on a hypothetical basis for a second. For example, if nearshoring really happened in a meaningful way and came to fruition, I just was sort of curious what that would mean along the lines of inbound freight flows as it relates to trucking, transit times, length of haul. Would there be any material differences, or would it sort of just be business as usual, just a change in sourcing, basically? That's just been a topic that I've been seeing a bit of on an anecdotal basis.
Sure. You know, I'm not sure it makes an enormous difference. I think that, you know, my biggest question is the whole if it actually happens thing. And I won't get too deep into that because I know that wasn't your goal. First of all, we've already kind of seen what happens when we move things away from China. We saw that last year. So, you know, if China per se is the issue, well, we have Vietnam, we have Taiwan, we have Thailand and others.
Right.
And we saw that. So if the issue is just the political turmoil in China, then I don't know that that necessarily changes anything. If the issue is getting more control over the ability to change supply chain and to react to the market quicker, because obviously one of the issues we have is that the lead times are obviously in months, not, you know, days or weeks when you're depending on Asia or even on Europe. So there is that issue, but of course that's been an issue for decades, and it, you know, never seems to offset labor costs. So I put it, you know, just real quick, the whole nearshoring thing, it's one of those things that everybody always brings up, like vehicle, you know, mile tax or things like that, that I'm skeptical will happen. But to take the premise of your question, you know, my guess is that, you know, we have a distribution system that is based in a large degree, especially for consumer goods, on product coming into Southern California, being brought by rail inland, and then, you know, dredged out from, you know, Chicago and you know, other places like that, and you know, that is a function of that's. And we have built that distribution situation because that's how we get our goods, is we get our goods from Asia. If the goods are going to be produced locally, then, you know, we're not going to produce them in Southern California. California is not a business friendly state to begin with. And you know, it's other than producing it for the California market, you know, for the rest of the country, why would you move all the product inland? So if you accept the premise of nearshoring, I think it might reduce the total length of shipment. So if you were to look at a commodity flow survey way of looking at this, for example, the total shipment distance probably will come down. The truck distance, however, likely would go up because I think we will see, instead of seeing, you know, more product moved intermodally, we'll see more product moved directly by truck. And that will, I think, you know, modestly lengthen hauls. I don't think we're talking about, you know, trucks running rail haul length or anything like that, at least not until we get to an autonomous truck, you know, type environment. And I don't see that happening, you know, this decade.
Yeah.
So I do think, you know, that things like transit times, it is interesting because what you would presume would also entail is that we would then the inventory situation would become even tighter, because why would you don't need to worry about the fluff if you can have a quicker turnaround. So mm-hmm. I think we would, you know, that whole just in time inventory, which I think is sort of stalled. I mean, it's stalled for economic reasons, I think, but it also has stalled because of the desire to make sure that you have product. And I think that's obviously during when you have events like a pandemic, that becomes more and more critical, because you had no ability really to get product for several months. And frankly, if for some reason trade had been distributed, well, you know, let's look back at February and March. You know, we had a situation where trade was disrupted because of COVID, because mm-hmm. of China, and yet we weren't having consumption disrupted. So it's an interesting sort of counterfactual debate as to what would have happened if that environment had continued. In fact, I wrote a commentary about that several months ago, and before we thought COVID was going to be an issue here. What happens if China is no longer an option? That would have led to a very interesting scenario. You know, we may have had to have had reshoring to some degree on an emergency basis just to keep, to keep consumers supplied with things they needed.
Yeah.
It's something that didn't happen and now may never will.
Absolutely. Just to wrap up here, Avery, I had one last question, and it just relates to been hearing some differing opinions but more uniform opinions based on peak season outlook for 2020. Obviously, this year is unlike basically any other in our careers or lifetimes, if you will. And things are far from normal, but that said, as a backdrop, how should people be approaching peak? I mean, will it resemble anything like it has in the past, or is it going to just fall by the wayside? I know that some analysts have said that we've already been in a peak season, especially, but that I think relates more to the parcel side, but in the rapid refill having to do with e-commerce activity, which obviously trucking is a big part of, but, as far as a traditional 2020 peak season outlook, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on that.
Sure. I think that just from a supply standpoint, we went past the point of no return in terms of having that kind of peak season that we would typically have. That's not to say we can't have a really good one, but I think, you know, we may be too late. And, you know, obviously, a lot of that depends on international trade, since so much of those consumer goods are imported. And even if you look at June numbers, imports and exports were very strong, but it was all because of automobiles.
Yes,
you know, and there wasn't any tremendous growth in the consumer side. So we are going to be challenged just from a supply standpoint. But I think the bigger picture is that, because, you know, people have been at home, because a lot of people have not been going to a physical work, I just don't know that they're thinking of 2020 like a normal year anyway. You know, I think that, that, yes, there will be some desire to celebrate, you know, at Christmas time a lot. But, you know, I think a lot of people have already sort of rewarded themselves and their kids with little things over time, and have
right.
already spent. And of course they've been getting these stimulus checks, and apparently may very well get another round of stimulus checks. And, you know, we'll probably spend those well before Black Friday and Cyber Monday. So I feel like we may end up with the same amount of volume that we would in a typical peak season, but that peak will be spread out.
Okay.
Through, you know, from May through December.
So yeah.
It will be, I think there will be a lot of money spent. And again, this all comes back to Congress is going to have to do something substantial. I think without that, there will not be a peak season. But, you know, I, don't think it is going to be a traditional peak season.
Okay. Yeah, that seems to be the general consensus to a large degree. Well, listen, Avery, we're at the end of our time for today's podcast. On behalf of Logistics Management Magazine and the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group, it's been a real pleasure having you here today.
Thanks, Jeff. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Likewise. And for those of you on Twitter, feel free to give Avery a follow. It's at Avery Vise, and that's AVERYVISE. And also, please be sure to give Logistics Management a follow at Logistics MGMT. Thanks, everybody.